You have any giants in your life? You have any giant things that are just so big they intimidate all everything in your life? It's just so big that when you think about them, you draw back in fear. You know what I'm talking about. It's just so big. It might be finances. It might be sickness. Might be illness. It might be an errant family member. It might be a relationship with someone in your life that you want it to be better and just never seems to get that way. Think about the giants in your life. Now, I'm going to read a story to you today that comes out of Numbers chapter 13. And in this story, it'll be a familiar story because it's a story that Dane referred to last week about the spies going into Canaan. Now, here's a setup for it. The Israelites have left Egypt, and they're wandering in the desert. They come to a place called Kadesh Barnea, and John, we go to the map. I'm changing horses on John about the third time this morning. They come to this place called Kadesh Barnea, and it's way down in the Negev. Now that is just all desert today. See this way down in the south where the red line begins? Now this red line, they've come, Egypt is over here, and they've come up this far. And now it's time to send the spies into the land to spy out the land. And so Moses chooses one spy from each of the 12 tribes. And in that number are Caleb and Joshua. That'll become important in just a little bit. So he sends the spies. They go on this 40 days, and they come back. And that's where we pick up with the story in verse 25 of chapter 13 in Numbers. Hear the story. And when they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us. It certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." So they're giving testimony. This is a great land. They're going back to the area where the Jews had left. Remember when they went down to, we got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Remember, Jacob's family goes down there, Joseph into Egypt. Well, they've been down there 400 years in Egypt. And now they're coming out of Egypt. The Exodus has taken place. They're coming out of Egypt and they're going back into the land. We're probably talking about 2 million people here. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and every other kind of ite is living in the hill country. And the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people. Now imagine what's happened up to this point. They've gotten this, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, but there are fortified cities there. And you can feel the fear rising in their lives. They're just tuning up. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We're not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we've gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants." Now listen to this story. "And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. Literally, the word there is Nephilim. There also, we saw the Nephilim. It uses the word, which means the fallen ones or the dead ones. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in their own sight, and so we were in their sight. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a second. For years and years and years, when I read this story, as they were imagining this. I'm going to show you in just a minute that there were giants in the land. But I want you to see that that's not their imagination. It was true. Now skip on down to Numbers 14, verse 1. Then all the story continues. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and they cried. And the people wept that night. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt. Had they spoken that before now? Every time opposition comes to them, what do they say? We want to go back into slavery. I want you to think about it. All of you here, old people, young people, think about when God is moving in your life and opposition comes, what's the first thing we think about doing? Going back. Retreating. Well, at least I was protected there. At least I was okay there. When you really weren't. Or would that we had died in the wilderness. Why is it the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? In other words, we got through all this stuff. We've seen all these miracles. Now He's just brought us here so we're going to be killed by these people that we don't know. Our wives, our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So he said to one another, let's appoint a leader and return to Egypt. Now what do you call that that's happening right there on the spot in this story? What do you call it? Rebellion. Rebellion against God and His leadership and rebellion against their leadership. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel. So here's Moses and Aaron, and they're praying. They can't believe what they're hearing. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothing. This act of repentance, this public act, this agonizing act. And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. Now get this. If the Lord is pleased with us, then He will bring us into this land and He will give it to us. A land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people in the land. And He makes a statement. For they will be our prey. Wow. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with them, with us. Do not fear them. But all the congregation said to stone them with stone. And then this happened. They're picking up stone, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting. To all the sons of Israel, God's glory appears. And He stops them. That was at this point, as we race on to put you in context of the story, He's going to wipe them out. Moses intercedes for them. And God relents from killing all of them. And He says, okay, here's the deal. Everybody 20 years and younger, you're going to get to go in the land. But not for 40 years. For every day they were out on their journey, 40 days out there, I'm going to give you a year of wandering in the wilderness. So that entire generation that rejected God here died in the wilderness. And only Joshua, who has the same name as who else? Yeshua and Caleb were able to enter the land. Now, first point, go back to the map, John. I want you to see this. See, they went way up to Beth Rehob. Beth means house of. See all the the peoples there, the Phoenicians, the Girgashites, the Hivites, Perizzites, the Amorites, all of these peoples that are living there in the land. My first point, giants in your life are real. To say the things that exist in your life are not there, well, sometimes they're not, but many times they are the real thing. You say you have a money problem and it's real. Because what happens at the end of the month? Somebody's got to pay the fiddler. Real problems. Now, as I said before, I used to look at this story about them coming back and saying they're giants in the land and say, oh, that was just their imagination. But then I started reading the Bible. You know, there really are giants in the Bible. Who's the first one you think of? Goliath. How tall was Goliath? No, he wasn't. He was. Let me read the passage to you from 1 Samuel 17:4. It says, "Then the champion Goliath came out from the armies of Philistines and from Gath. His height was 6 cubits and a span. A cubit was 18 inches. 6 feet, 3 feet, 9 feet, span, half. This sucker's 9.5 feet tall." But then they go on to describe in the passage the armor that he had on him, and it was armor for a man that tall. I'm not talking about some freak of nature that had his something wrong with his pituitary gland. I'm talking about someone that is proportionately that big. Remember when David tries to put on his armor? This guy is in. And he is part of a group called the Rephaim, which were the giants. He had 4 other brothers who were giants. Remember David chose 5 stones? I think David was thinking about the 4 other brothers. Well, I tell you, there's another passage. King Og in Deuteronomy 3:11. Listen to this. "For only Og, king of Bashan," Bashan's one of those places where they went to spy out, "was left of the remnant of the Rephaim," these giants. "Behold, his bedstead was an iron bedstead." Took an iron bedstead. "It is in Rabob, the sons of Ammon. Its length is 9 cubits, and its width 4 cubits by the measure of the ordinary cubits." So, 9 cubits, that's 13.5 feet long. That was his bed. And 6 feet wide. Giants. All these stories. And in fact, we see most of the stories in literature that talk about giants have them concentrated in this one area of the world. Not to say there weren't giants in other places. The origin of these, I'll leave that for another day. But I want you to know today, we're talking about real giants. Then the pre-flood Nephilim in Genesis 6:4. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days. This word is the same word that's used in Numbers for giants. These fallen ones. They were on the earth in those days and also afterward. That means after the flood. This passage precedes the flood narrative. So it's right before the flood story. So it's part of the flood story, what God was wiping out. "When the sons of God came to the daughters of men, and they bore them children." Primary interpretation of that is angels came, essentially, and had sex with women. And they produced this race. I know there are other interpretations of that, but I think you need to look at the context of that. What I'm saying to you is, we're talking about real giants that are in the Scripture. This is not imagination. This isn't up for interpretation. He doesn't just say, well, Og, he was a giant of a man. Gives you the dimensions of his bed. Doesn't say, Goliath, he was a giant of a guy. It gives you the weight and the size of his armor. So we're talking about stuff that's true. Now, there are all sorts of extra-biblical sources that show this is true, to which then brings me my question again to you. All right, if those guys, those spies, 12 of them, they went into the land and they saw giants, real giants. They were afraid. 10 of them looked at that and said, we need to turn back. 2 of them said, the same God that's brought us this far is going to bring us through. What are the giants in your life? And they're real. That relationship that has loomed with a parent or with a child or with a friend that is broken, that has something that is wrong there. Maybe it's been abuse in your life, or maybe the giant in your life is money. Maybe the giant in your life is health. Whatever it is, I want you to know today, it's real. It's real. It's a real giant, but it has a real solution. Number 2, giants always stand in the way of blessing. As in verse 8, Joshua and Caleb are talking to the people. He said, if the Lord is pleased with us, then He'll bring us into the land. He'll give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. You see, the fall happened in the garden. Think about this for a moment. The fall happened. Satan comes, the temptation for Adam and Eve, and sin enters into the world. And so at that point, there's a throwdown. The battle was on. Has that battle stopped since then? Do you battle with things in your life? Do you battle saying the right stuff, doing the right stuff? Do you battle in relationships? Yes, you do. Do you walk in somewhere sometime and say, man, why'd they jump on me like that? It's a battle. It's a war that's going on. And it's a spiritual battle. The evil one puts those giants there to stand in our way, to intimidate us, to try to get us to turn away. And one theory about this thing about the messing up of the race is that one of the reasons God wanted to bring the flood, sin had come into the world, but God wanted to cleanse all of that out of the world. Third thing, giants are always a spiritual problem. There's no problem you have that's not a spiritual problem. That's its root. Man, if I just had more money, it'd change everything. It might change that thing, but then there's a whole other set of problems that come over here with that. What happens to most of the people that win the lottery? They're bankrupt within a year. They have plenty of money. So money wasn't the issue. I was reading a stat that yesterday of professional football players within 10 years after their retirement from football, all across the board, 75% of them declare bankruptcy. Giants are spiritual problems. So we need to look past what's on the surface and see what the root issue is. What's the spiritual problem? Number 4, giants have to be addressed vertically and horizontally. What I mean by that? Well, we've got to go back to verse 9 and see. Only do not rebel against the Lord. There's the vertical. Right? What happens as soon as the people rebel against God and against their leadership? What does the Lord begin the process of? Right at that point in Numbers, right here. Judgment comes. Now, grace came and mercy came for the people, and Moses intercedes for them, and they're not all killed on the spot. But judgment comes to their lives. And giants have to be addressed vertically. When there are giants in our lives, we got to get things right with God. Things have got to be right in this direction. And then we got to get things right in this direction with our fellow man, with these horizontal relationships. And as Caleb says here, and not fear the people of the land. Not going in there with fear. Number 5, God wants you to have a change of perspective. I love this from Caleb. He says, for they will be our prey. Let me tell you, that was carried out. I can show you, I don't have the time today, show you a list long as my arm of battles that were fought, Joshua, Caleb being involved in all that, and how they defeated the Lord defeated through them these groups of people that had these armies of these giants and these great cities, and God gave it to them. You see, it's a change of perspective. Instead of looking this way, we start looking this way and asking God for His leadership. Number six, and man, when you get the deliverance and God does His great stuff in your life and you proclaim that the Lord is with you, you need to expect opposition. Here's Joshua and Caleb. They're coming back. They're thinking, oh man, people are going to be excited about all this. We're bringing all the fruits of the land. Clusters of grapes that it took two guys with a pole to carry them in. A land flowing with milk and honey and all of this stuff. Listen, these are the same people that watched the Red Sea part. These are the same people that watched the plagues of Egypt come. These are the same people that had manna that was just laying outside their camp. And when they got tired of eating manna, God brought them quail. These are the same people that experienced all of that. Can we get a witness on that? Do you get like that sometimes? God does all this stuff, and yet the next giant, I don't know if God can handle that one. The same God that handled the first one can handle the last one. And where's the opposition? Man, isn't it interesting that so often the opposition doesn't come from out there. It comes from right next door. The most cutting thing, the most damnable thing said to us sometimes can be from people that are right next to us. He says, we've got to expect opposition. But then finally, what does God provide for them? The people are murmuring. They say, oh, we're going to get our leaders and we're getting up a group to go back to Egypt. And the glory of God comes out of the tent of meat. Trying to give you an example. Remember in Raiders of the Lost Ark? Indiana Jones? Remember they've got the evil Frenchman that's with the Nazis there, and he's got on the high priest clothing, you know, the vest and all that. And remember that light that comes from that just consumed everything that's not pure? Remember that light? That's the closest thing I can describe to you, the glory of God. Shining like that. God will show up. He will help you defeat every giant in your life. I'm not here to tell you, do a head job on you and say, hey man, oh, those giants, you're looking at it the wrong way. And if you just look, you know, they're not really giant. Yes, they are. But for a giant size problem, we have a giant size God who can change things. And He will. Because He's with us. So the other day, minding my own business, maybe that's a little exaggeration there. I don't need to get all excited and overshoot the target here. I'm riding along in Logan's old beat-up truck. Get a phone call. Linda Larimore. Y'all remember Linda? She's from Guitar Force. Said, hey, Dust, what you doing? I said, I'm driving, talking to you. Said, I got somebody in my office that wants to speak to you. They hadn't seen you in about 45 or 46 years. I said, oh, really? Put them on. Guy gets on the line. I'll keep his name private. He said, Dusty, you don't remember me. I said, no, I don't. He said, but remember down there at Savannah Baptist Center, you used to do those Bible studies? He said, I was in one of those one day. He said, I've been trying to find you for a year. But I asked Jesus into my heart 45 years ago. He said, I just want to find you and meet with you and pray with you and thank you for being obedient way back then. He said, I've had a lot of hardships and all, but the Lord has carried me through. One giant hits the deck that says, no, you can't be saved. No, your life can't change. Gone. You see, God is faithful. I tell you that story today to let you know, you may not be able to see the results of your prayers right now. You may not be able to see all the things you want to see. But God is faithful. He's faithful. We're going to pray. We're going to open the altar. Come. Come today. Let the Lord do His work in your life. Let's pray. Lord, now as we open the altar, we're inviting this body to come. Come and experience Your presence. Experience Your power. Experience what You want to do in their lives, Lord. Us. Lord, some of us have had a great week at camp, but Lord, You haven't stopped working in our lives. I'm asking you today, Lord, that you'll come, that the glory of God will shine in this place, and we'll respond to you in faith and trust. And Lord, we will see the giants in our lives fall to the ground. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be here to receive you. Going to come to the altar. This is your time with the Lord. I wonder what Joshua and Caleb felt like 40 years later when they went from place to place every time they saw the giants fall. Whew. That's better than any movie you could make today. Be sure and put your cards and your envelopes for last Sunday today. Speak.
This is my last Sunday today. This Wednesday, I'm going to fly to Boston until I'm not exactly sure when I'll be back. It all depends on my family's plans. But last year, you know, it was a year before I came back. So hopefully I'll go to visit my son in Atlanta, hopefully this fall. My son, you know, needs his mommy.
And has your daughter needed her mommy too?
Yes. Yes, of course. I love to travel and focus on my family. And, you know, if my kids are satisfied, you know, I go wherever God tells me to go, you know. God knows the future.
Let's pray. Several of you want to come up. Let's lay hands on our sister today. And the Lord, we thank you that you hear and answer us, that you're with us. There is no mountain too steep or valley too deep. Lord, thank you today for the sweetness of our fellowship in the Lord. And Lord, even though we are parted by distance and miles, our hearts are still together. Go before our sister today, Lord. May she feel your presence and your power. Lord, may you use her with the rest of her family. And Lord, for this time with David and Priscilla, we thank you. Lord, we know you don't waste anything. Lord, grant traveling mercy. And open wide, Lord, opportunities to be your hands and feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We'd like to get those cards and envelopes from you. We'll receive those right now if you want to bring them. And then Brother Dane has a prayer he's going to pray.
Just want to ask God to continue to work what He was doing while we were at summer camp. God didn't begin a work at summer camp. He's continued to work at summer camp. But I am sure that we've all had some very maybe difficult times, some adversity, a little bit. Personal testimony about that. Me and my stupidity left my car unlocked at the Y the other day. And so therefore, I no longer have a driver's license nor two credit cards. Now, here's the irony about that. I leave my wallet in the car because inside the Y is more likely to get stolen. So my own stupidity is I left it unlocked. That's on me. But I go the Y a lot. And so, here was my reaction to it. God, may they have repentance and protection over us. May they repent of their sins and come to salvation. There's my testimony to tell you that there is real adversity. It's not just something I speak of as if it's nothing that hits me personally, okay? So let's pray this morning for God to continue His work in camp. God, we thank You for all that You did do and that all that You're stirring up. In fact, Father, the fact is probably You might be saying more on this side of camp than You did last week or that You did prior. But God, we do come under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and Savior, and You are our protector. Now, God, as I have prayed often, that You would continue to do a great and mighty work, a fruit producing work. Lord, You didn't do things in our lives so we could come home and sit on them. Lord, You came and did things in our lives so we could be used to glorify and honor You, so Your kingdom could advance, so people would know there's permanent change. So, Lord, I'm praying for permanent change. I'm praying for continued healing and wholeness. Lord, I'm praying that we will continue to look to you for your direction and your guidance in our lives. Lord, we're not waiting till Camp 2018 for you to do more work. Lord, we have an expectancy today that you're doing more work. And so, Lord, may we submit to you totally today in what you're doing. Thank you. Bless us, protect us, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. That's it for today.